If you would go with me to Matthew, the sixth chapter. A few weeks ago, we began a new series for us called Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. I'm excited about this. I believe it is changing us. And that if we'll follow through, go all the way with this, we will see more and greater manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our midst and in our personal lives, day in, day out. You find in Matthew 6? Well, hold your place there, and on the screen, put up Luke 11:1. You hold your place in Matthew 6. We'll move quicker this way. But on the screen, it came to pass that when Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, if you've been praying for 50 years, does that mean you know everything about praying?
No, sir.
No. Is it possible you've been praying wrong in some ways?
Yes, sir.
For 50 years?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's always so much to learn and grow, and especially in this area. So they asked the Lord, teach us to pray. And so that's what we did beginning of this series. And so we got people today here with us that wasn't there. So let's say it again. Lord,
teach us to pray.
Teach me to pray. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, he will. And he'll point out to us, no, don't do that. And then he'll point, do this. Do it this way. Go to Matthew 6 then, if you've got your place there. Matthew 6:5 is Matthew's account of this same thing we read in Luke. Because as soon as, when they said, teach us to pray, right after that, the Lord gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, that's exactly what you see here in Matthew 6, the same thing. He gives them, gives us, what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's actually him teaching us to pray. And but prior to that, he gave instruction that is an answer of teach us how to pray. And the first thing he taught them and us is how not to pray. That's the first thing he taught. When they said, teach us to pray, the first thing he did was told them what not to do. In Matthew 6:5, he said, when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are. Now, you'll find that God hates a lie. He hates it. I didn't say liar. I said a lie. He hates lying. Lying is the main tool of his adversary, the devil. The devil fathered lying. God did not create lying. God did not create deception. In fact, it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Knowing that you can completely trust him.
Yes.
He will never tell you anything that's not 100% right. I mean, if he wanted to lie to us and trick us, wouldn't be anything we could do about it. Thank God. I said, thank God. He is truth itself. And as such, he absolutely hates lying and deception, and you should agree with him.
Yes.
And I should agree with him about that. Everybody said out loud, I hate lying.
I hate lying.
I hate deception.
I hate deception.
It's the work of the devil.
It's the work of the devil.
I love the truth.
I love the truth.
Hallelujah. I love the truth. And of course, it's the truth that'll make you free. And so he said, when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are. And the reason I've talked about lying is because that's what hypocrisy is. Hypocrisy is acting like you don't know when you do. Huh? Acting like you know when you don't. It's pretending and putting on a front and a show, which is a falseness. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Now, there's a lot of prayer that is absolutely useless. There is prayer. Let me read this to you from some other verses here. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 28:9 says, "He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." There are prayers that are abhorrent to God. Sometimes when you use the word prayer, people go in a hushed tone and go, "Oh yeah, prayer." You know, yeah, but what do you mean prayer? Who are you praying to? Based on what? What are you praying? There are a lot of prayers people would be much better off not praying them. And Psalm 109:7 talks about the wicked individual and that his prayer is for sin. Or his prayer is sin. There are prayers that are absolute sin. But the Bible says, thankfully, Proverbs 15:8, the prayer of the upright is his delight. There are prayers God enjoys. He enjoys hearing them. And it always comes back to the heart of the prayer. And of course, if you want to pray something that God can hear and agree with and answer, it needs to be in line with what he said. He's not going to change to accommodate you. You need to change to accommodate him. Don't you think so? And in John 15:7, he said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done to you."
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. But see, that's not just asking any and everything off the top of your head. That's living and walking with him. Feeding on his word all the time so that your thinking comes in line with him. And so then your praying comes in line with him. So back to Matthew 6, he said, don't be like the hypocrites. They pray to be seen of men. Verse 6, but when you pray, enter your closet, which means you need one, that you can call yours. And needs to be a walk-in closet, right? So you can get on in there. Close the door. Enter your closet. And when you have shut the door, see, it's got a door. Pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. Number one, prayer needs to be something between you and God, personally, not for other people to see and hear. Now, there's public prayer, and that's something to talk about, but that's not what you do day and night all the time. This is between you and him. When you pray, verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Now, there are a lot of folks that Jesus calls heathen that pray. Right? But they're praying to the wrong God. There's only one God. Now, you'll hear people say, well, you know, there are many ways to God, and people are calling, it's the same God that are calling by different names, and people have their own ways of, that'll send you to hell. Not my words, Jesus' words.
Amen.
No, Jesus said, "I am the way."
Yeah.
Not one way. He went on to say, "Nobody comes to the Father except by me."
Right.
Now, you either believe that or you don't.
Right.
If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible.
Right.
Are you a Christian?
Amen.
And it's going to be sad that when people die and they find out they were robbed by lies and they lost their own soul, like we were talking about earlier. That's why the number one directive is get this message out.
Yes.
Right? That there's only one God. There's only one Redeemer. Between God and men, it is the man Christ Jesus. Only one. Somebody said, well, you're just narrow. Yeah, and saved. There's a broad way. Huh? That leads to destruction, Jesus said. And there's a lot of people that's on that path going right off the end into perdition and destruction. Just because you believe something doesn't make it true. And the people say, well, there is no heaven. There is no hell. That doesn't make them disappear. You can believe anything you want to. When you breathe your last, you're going to find out. No. You'll find the Bible is truth. Hallelujah. Immutable, eternal, perfect truth. You can build your life on it. And it's not just ink and paper. You'll find that these living words bear witness with the inside of you. Because the author of them is also inside you as a believer. And there is this witnessing with. Hallelujah. And you really have to be dishonest to be lost. What do you mean? Because people, you can be sure God is a faithful God. Every human being that comes old enough to understand right from wrong and good from bad, the Lord gives them an opportunity to know Him. You can be sure of it. I don't care where they were born. They might have been born the 20th generation idol worshiper. But when they were just a boy or a girl, they look up in the night sky. Something inside them tells them there's a God. A real God. Hallelujah. And if you hear just a little bit of the truth, you either accept it or you reject it. If you reject it, that's all you're going to get. That's it. You don't get any more. But if you'll receive it and believe it, no matter how, you can be in the mud, living in a cardboard box with nothing, ignorant, lost. And if you'll look up and you'll say, I believe, Lord, show me more. He will lead you all the way out into full salvation. He'll bring you up. He'll heal you. He will take you out of the garbage dump and set you with princes. The scripture says, if you just keep going with Him, just keep going with Him, just keep following Him, keep going. But at the moment you say, well, I don't believe that anymore, that's where you stop. How many want to keep going? You and me both. Let's keep going. So He said, don't pray like the heathen. Why? Because they got their phrases and they just loop. They just say the same thing over and over and over and over. Same words exactly. Over and over and over. They think, Jesus said, they'll be heard because of all their words. Their much speaking. But they won't be. And praying to these false gods. These false gods never answered a prayer. And never will. It's sad that people live and die and believe these lies. That's why our job number one is get the truth out. The gospel truth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Go with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. Let me see. No. Go to James 5 first. James 5, and then maybe we'll go to Isaiah. Some of these things I haven't taught this way before. So I'm following Him. And He's helping us, right? You said you're believing with me, right? Thank you. Thank you. James 5, beginning in verse 15, he's talking about prayer. In these 1, 2, 3, 4+ verses. Verse 15, he said, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Can a right prayer change a situation?
Yes.
Now, we gave some definitions. What is prayer? And we talked about that prayer is communion with the Creator.
Yes.
Prayer is fellowship with the Father.
Yes.
We don't want it to be religious tradition. Communion, fellowship. And then we begin to ask and answer the question, why should we pray? We saw that Jesus prayed a lot when he's on the earth. Sometimes he'd pray all night long. Well, if there's anybody that could get by without praying, you'd think it was him. Right? Why did he need to pray? Why did he need to pray so much? Well, can we be successful without it? Or go ahead and say it out loud. If Jesus needed to pray,
I need to pray.
If Jesus prayed a lot,
I need to pray a lot.
Because Jesus said the servant's not above his master. And so we begin to ask the question, why do we need to pray? And we begin to answer it. What the first reason we gave is because he told us to. Right? How many think that's good? Just by itself. That should be good enough. He told us to pray. He told us repeatedly, watch and pray. Pray when you pray. And then we see in the epistles, pray without ceasing. I will that men pray everywhere. We're told to pray, and not just 2 minutes on Sunday. We're told to pray, and that doesn't mean you pray every breath, obviously, but you never go a day and don't pray.
Amen.
It's a way of life with us. You never go a day and don't pray. That's what pray without ceasing. There's never a time when you quit praying, stop praying. He told us to pray. He told us to pray all the time. But here's a second one. And we're seeing it here already. Why pray? Because things can be changed.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Things can be changed. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. Help them out. Say, things can be changed. They can be changed. Well, see, here's somebody that's sick. Can that be changed?
Yes.
Prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. He was sick. He was in bondage. He was in condemnation, having messed up in sin. Now he's forgiven, righteousness, consciousness, and healed. And the Lord connects it to praying.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. So obviously, a sick, diseased, weak condition can be changed.
Yes, sir.
You can wind up healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Yes.
Now, the reason a lot of people don't pray is they're not really convinced it'll do any good. They're not fully convinced it'll make a difference. And part of that is from this doctrine of demons that is preached in churches all around the world. What? That God is controlling everything. And that everything is predetermined. I said doctrine of demons.
Yes.
It has robbed so many believers. It has robbed so many churchgoers. Because if everything's already predetermined, then it doesn't make any difference what I do or don't do. Whatever God has predetermined is or is not going to happen. So why do I need to pray? See, these are lies of the devil to keep you from praying. To keep you from believing, to keep you from making any kind of an effort to change anything. And acting like you're showing respect. Oh, I'm just leaving it in the hands of God. You can't leave up to Him what He left up to you. And people are trying to do that all over. Well, I'm just leaving it to God. Yeah, but did He tell you to do something? They don't even know. No. Everything is not set in stone. And I'm talking about some big things. Everything is not set in stone. Things can be changed. This is some of the best news you ever heard, brother and sister. Huh? Things can be changed. Everything is not set in stone. Oh, somebody say praise God, praise God. He goes on to describe verse 17. He said, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Sometimes we think about these patriarchs and these heroes of faith and kind of put them on a pedestal floating in the air with a halo. And, you know, somebody that couldn't really relate to us how carnal we've been. Oh, no. They're people just like you.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Just like you. They made mistakes. Sometimes whoppers.
Yeah.
But they didn't give up. They didn't quit. They made changes when they needed to. They repented when they needed to. I mean, if God couldn't use people like us, who's He going to use? Huh? Where, on what continent do you find perfect people? There's only been one. Perfect man. The Master. Everybody else has come short. And God, you know, sometimes you feel for Him. But He's got to work with what He has. Is that right? And Him being God, He can work it out. Is that right? Even with less than perfect material to work with, says so much about Him. But Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly. Literally, that phrase is, he prayed a prayer.
Wow.
Earnestly, this is the only place in the King James I know that the word, Greek word, is translated earnestly. Everywhere else is translated prayer. And so the other translations bring out, he prayed a prayer that it might not rain. And what happened? It didn't rain. For 3.5 years. That's a powerful prayer. Changed the environment. It changed the air currents, the pressures, the humidities, the air flows, the seasons. Whew. Things can be changed. Huh? And he prayed again, verse 18. Notice the language of the scripture. What it links it with. He prayed, and this happened. Then if you want it to change, what? He prayed again. Is that right? And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now the Lord could have easily said, I decided that there'd be a drought. He didn't say it that way. He said Elijah. Even though he was a human, not knowing everything, and made mistakes like everybody else. What is he saying? He wants you and I to realize what kind of potential is available to us.
Thank you, Lord.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
That even though we have been imperfect and made all kind of mistakes, if we'll get serious about some things,
yes,
we can pray some prayers that can absolutely change big things. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Change things for years.
Yeah.
Woo!
Wow.
Now, go with me to Isaiah And let's look at this. Isaiah, what you have here is the account of King Hezekiah. Isaiah 38:1. Hezekiah is also a man subject to like passions as us. He made mistakes. The Bible tells you about him. He also did some things that were right and good. One thing about the Scripture, it doesn't hide people's flaws. It'll tell you about both. And the Lord wants you to know that they were not some super spiritual person that you can't relate to. They're dealing with the same issues that you and I are. In those days, was Hezekiah sick unto death? He wasn't just didn't just have a bad cold. He was it was terminal. Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Not I've been praying, not I have a perception. Thus saith the Lord." Now this is a different level. And this is something the prophet's ministry functions in. This is beyond "I perceive." No, this is "I heard the Lord say this. And I'm just telling you what I heard him say." And you don't need to say that unless you did. Right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. But he said, "Thus saith the Lord." Now you got to look at the picture. Hezekiah is king. He's king of the nation. And he's in his royal bedroom with attendants. The doctors have not been able to help him. He's near death's door. Yeah. And of course, he's looking for help. Right? And he has full confidence in Isaiah. Everybody around there knows Isaiah is the real deal.
Yeah.
He's a real man of God. When he says, "I heard from God," he did. So they tell him Isaiah is out in the foyer. "Oh, tell him to come in. Maybe it's good news." Right? You know? Because you're pretty sure that Isaiah is Hezekiah's spiritual counselor.
Right, right.
And so they confer on matters of state and everything else. And so he's confident Isaiah's been praying for him.
Yes.
When he knows his king is near death, he's confident. So hallelujah. Isaiah is at the door. Let him in. Let him in. He's not smiling though. And Hezekiah looks at him in his weakened condition, and the prophet says, "Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order." That don't sound good. Huh? "For you shall die and not live." You shall die. Not you might. And this is not just some man or woman's idea. This is "thus saith the Lord." Now, to hear a lot of people talk, if there was a "thus saith the Lord," that is set in stone. Hear how quiet it got. Have you read this? Was it set in stone?
No, sir.
But Hezekiah, he heard that. Don't you know those words hit him? Because he's seen Isaiah prophesy before. And he's seen it come to pass to the letter. And so this is, most everybody would say, this is it. I mean, what's the point in praying about this? The Lord said, "Get your business in order. Set your house in order. Call the attorneys in. Make sure your will's right. Because you shall die. And you're not going to live. Thus saith the Lord. Verse 2, help me out. Then Hezekiah. If you read the rest of the account, then Isaiah didn't stay long. Well, you know, what can he say? He just told him he's going to die. So Isaiah leaves. And Hezekiah, notice what he didn't do. I'm still talking about what Jesus told us. Jesus said, don't pray to be seen of men. And don't pray vain repetitions. What does that mean? You got to get your eyes off men. Period. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. What do you see when your nose is 6 inches from the wall? Nothing. There is nothing to distract you. And he prayed, not to Hezekiah, not to Isaiah. Not to Isaiah. He prayed to the Lord. Now, let's talk about why this account is in the Scriptures. He didn't just roll over and cry. He didn't just turn over and cry his eyes out and say, well, you know, I wanted to live longer. I'm not that old. But the Lord said, what are you going to do with that? He didn't say, go get Isaiah. Get him back in here. And grill him about it. Now what exactly did he say? Do you think that really means dead, die? You know, is there any leeway? Or pressuring him. You need to go back and talk to him, Isaiah. You need to... Faith doesn't put pressure on people. Real faith in God goes straight to God. Looks to God. That's why he turned his face to the wall. He don't want to think about Isaiah. He don't want to think about any of his attendants, anybody that's around in the room or outside. Clear the room. Why? It's time to get serious, brother. Is that right? The clock is ticking here. What did he do? He turned his face toward the wall and he prayed. Oh, somebody say prayed. He prayed unto the Lord.
Yes, sir.
He said, Lord, remember, I beseech thee, how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart. I've done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He said, Lord, I've been trying to straighten this place out. And he had been. He made some good changes and was helping turn the country around, getting it headed in the right direction. And he said, God, you know, I'm doing what I know to do. Have mercy on me. Is he serious? He's crying. Is that right? He's crying. He's praying. And for whose benefit? Isaiah's gone. Right? I guess he had everybody leave the room. He's nose next to the wall. He's not looking at anybody else. He's not thinking about anybody else. He is focusing completely on God. He's talking to him. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah. Now, if you read 1 Kings, it says before he had gone through the middle court. He's not even outside the royal grounds. Before he had gone through the middle court. So this is not a lot of time elapsed. This is minutes. Minutes. Do you know, when you really get serious with God, it don't have to take all day or all week. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah and said, go, turn around, and go back and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. Oh. Is that music to a dying man's ears? I have heard your prayer. I saw your tears. I saw your tears when they dripped down your face. Behold means look. And look here. I'm going to add to your days 15 years. I'm going to give you another 15 years. Well, somebody say, things can be changed. Things can be changed. Oh, much of the church does not know this. But it's right here. It's all through the Word of God. He said, I've heard your prayer. Hezekiah, I saw your tears. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. I saw you meant business. I saw your heart. I got you. So, what about that, thus saith the Lord, you're going to die? I thought the Lord never changes. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it? Shall he not do it? Has he spoken? Shall he not make it good? Well, what happened here? Because the Lord said, set your house in order, you shall die and not live. Here's the thing. Did Hezekiah change God?
No.
Those verses we just quoted, God doesn't change. He is perfection. He is right. He doesn't need to change. So Hezekiah did not change God. And you won't change God. And I won't change God, and thank God. Nobody can change God. Because what a mess that would be. Thank God. Huh? But something changed. I said something changed. Right? Keep reading. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add to your days 15 years. Before the prayer, there were hours or days before they're going to have a funeral. After the prayer, 15 more years of life. Hallelujah. Notice what else he said. And I will deliver you in this city out of the hand of a king of Syria. I will defend this city. You know, we preached about this a while back. They also God, right? I mean, God can do more than one thing. These are two big truths. God can do more than one thing at a time. And God can do a thing more than one way. More than one way. Some years ago, Phyllis and I were looking at a direction of ministry. And because of some things that happened, man, it really looked like it was the Lord. And it felt like it. And there were indications that it was. And we were making steps that way. And then some of the leaders on the other side, they came back with some requirements and demands that were not what we had in our heart. And I took it to prayer. And as months went by, they just were demanding and requiring more and more and this and that. And finally, the Lord said to me, let them alone. Leave them alone. And then not long after that, a different direction. Same kind of thing, but a completely different location and direction. And that puzzled me, though. I thought, Lord, now hold on. You don't change. Am I missing it somewhere? Because how can both of these be right? I mean, if that was you, how could this be you? And this is what he brought to my remembrance. He said, don't you remember that when Moses was up on the mount getting the Ten Commandments and all those things, and down at the base, they made the gold calves and worshiped them and said, Israel, these are your gods that brought you out of Egypt. Oh, it made the Lord angry. Whew. Amen. And it hadn't been 2 months since they heard the voice of God speaking out of the fire, the Ten Commandments. And anybody remember what number one was? You shall have no other God. Huh? And right after that, you don't make any graven images? 6 weeks ago. Yeah, but now think about this. Why was that the very thing they were tempted to do? Why that? Well, why was Adam and Eve tempted to eat the one thing in the garden? Right? That's the devil. The devil was pouring it on. You know, they didn't realize what was going on, but there was these thoughts bombarding their minds. You need a gold calf. Oh, you got to have a gold calf. Gold calf's going to solve your problems. It came from the enemy. But when they did that, it was a catastrophic sin in God's eyes. And this is before grace was available in Christ and all of that. And the Almighty said, he said, leave me alone. Get out of my way. I'm going to wipe them out. And I can start over with you, Moses. I'll make of you a greater nation than them. Well, now, hold on. Didn't God pick them? Huh? Well, then how could it be right for him to say, well, forget them and start over with Moses? It was their choices, this changing what's going to happen. They're not changing God. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. Something happened in him. Can you see that? He humbled himself before the Lord God. He cried out to him. He got serious. I mean, he's the king. He's just everybody kowtowing around him. But here he is crying like a baby. Is that right? With his nose up against the wall, humbling himself. And whatever needed to happen, happened. And but before Isaiah got out of the courtyard, he said, stop. So Isaiah just leaving. He goes, yes, turn around. Okay. Go back. Tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, I heard your prayer, boy. I saw your tears. Glory to God. Would he hear our prayer? Would he see our tears? Now, what this prayer is a prayer of supplication. Now, you'll find, you know, our master verse that we use in prayer time all around is what all the time is 1 Timothy 2, is that right, in the first couple of verses. And he talks about, he wants us to pray supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Different kinds of praying. This is not the prayer of faith, laying hold on something, believing you receive it.
Right.
This is not the prayer of faith. Now, we read in James, talking about the prayer of faith that saved the sick. That is the prayer of faith. That's a different kind of praying. But here, you might say, well, he could stand on the Word of God. He has just received the Word of God.
Right.
You're going to die. Is that right? He's got a word from the Lord. So this is not about standing on your rights or laying hold of what's been provided. This is supplication.
Yes.
Another word is entreaty, entreating the Lord, asking Him humbly, looking to the one that no matter what it is and no matter why it is that way, you still know somebody who can change it. Oh, come on. You still know somebody who can change it. Now, some things He can't change because it would violate His word in other situations, and sometimes, especially with other people, you don't know everything that led up to it, but you can still ask. Sometimes the Lord will say, leave it alone. That's between me and them. And if He does, leave it alone. Other times, He'll say, I heard your prayer. Oh, hallelujah. I heard your prayer. I saw your heart. I'm going to give you this. Woo. Mercy. Grace. Completely undeserved. Completely undeserved. Unmerited. Oh, but He, just because you asked Him to. Just because you asked Him to. He said, I'm going to give you 15 years. And I'm going to deliver you and this city. And I'm going to give you a sign from the Lord. Glory to God. Look down in verse 20. This is something that is eye-opening. Hezekiah wrote this after he was healed and delivered. He came to this realization. He said, the Lord was ready to save me. He realized the Lord was ready to save me when He told me I was going to die. But what? Under the current circumstances, if somebody else didn't change, that's what's going to happen. You know the Lord was ready to save him, because Isaiah hadn't got outside the courtyard yet. Is that right? I mean, how long had Hezekiah been praying? Couldn't have been over minutes. I mean, even if Isaiah stopped at the coffee bar on the way out, or what, he couldn't have been long. And Hezekiah says, the Lord was ready to save me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to Psalm 1. Don't turn there, but they'll put it on the screen. Psalm 106:23. We're answering the question, why pray? Right? Number one reason we said is what? He told us to. The Lord told us to. Told us to do it all the time as a way of life. And what else are we talking about today? Because things can be changed. Even things that were absolutely set to happen. Things can be changed. He said, therefore, He said that He would not destroy them. This is that account that I just told you about. You know, when they made that gold calf and all that. Had not Moses, His chosen, stood before Him in the breach to turn away His wrath, lest He should destroy them. They would have been destroyed. Not might, they would have been. You got to remember, this has happened before. Noah's time. I mean, the whole population of the planet was wiped out except 8 people in the ark. And they deserved it. I'm talking about the people that were wiped out. They deserved it. This place was non-stop evil and violence. It had gone so total out of control, it grieved God Himself. And the devil's trying to get it there again. He's always trying to. But God, one reason is because he wants to see man destroyed. He hates man. He hates us. And He knows He can't just indiscriminately take us all out, but if He can get us to go evil enough, judgment will come on us.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's right.
He can get us to get ourselves judged if we listen to him. But you and I are not ignorant of his evil devices and plans and schemes and thoughts. And by the grace of God, we're not going that way. No matter what the world does, we're not going that way. We're the salt of the earth. And God can keep us in the midst of this dark place. One thing that's going to be a part of that is praying. We're going to pray. Ezekiel 22:30, he said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them and consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way I've recompensed upon their heads, says the Lord God. He's the righteous judge of all the earth. He has to do what's right, even when he's not pleased with the judgments. But notice what he was doing. Back up to verse 30. He was looking for somebody that would have interceded and asked him to spare them. But nobody did. So he didn't have a choice. Nobody asked him for mercy and grace. So that's why Hezekiah had this revelation. He realized after he was healed, the Lord was ready to save me when he told me I was going to die. Why tell you? Why not just let you die? You'll soon be dead anyway. Why didn't he just let you die? The Lord was wanting somebody to wake up and get a clue and get serious and let's make some changes and let God would say, let me change your situation. But under these conditions, this is what's going to happen. We're answering the question, why pray? Can anybody see good reason to pray? Whew. Glory to God. Go to the book of Jonah. This is one of the most beautiful places in the scripture describing this. The prayer of supplication is a prayer of asking the Lord something you do not deserve. Something that's not owed to you. You don't have a right to it. Intercession is you asking for somebody else. You don't per se intercede for yourself. You're interceding for somebody else. Using your relationship with God, asking on their behalf. That's what Moses did, right? When God told him, step back, I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to start over with you. I'll make a better nation out of you. And people say, well, yeah, but I mean, it took, you know, 400 or 500 years to get to that place. That's nothing to God. That's half a day. Right? Yeah. If it took all day, okay. We'll have a better group here. But supplication, you can supplicate for yourself. Asking, entreaty. Jonah 1. Anybody read the book of Jonah?
Yeah.
Just, it's four short chapters. You ought to read it again. It's great. Jonah 1:1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And you know the story? Jonah ran. He ran the other direction to get away from this mission and this directive from God. Ran. And you know the story. He's on this ship. He shouldn't have been on. Trying to go somewhere he shouldn't be going. And man, they hit a storm. And they're not going to make it. And they find him below deck asleep. And they woke him up and said, "Would you wake up and call on your God?" They were all calling on their different gods. "Call on your God that we may be saved. Don't you know what's going on here?" And so then they cast lots to see who is the culprit, this source of this problem. And the lot fell on Jonah. And so they said, and they're holding on to the ropes and the waves are crashing and the wind's blowing. And they said, they're yelling, "Tell us, what did you do?" So he tells them. And then they said, "Why'd you do that?" And so they said, "What do we do to get out of this?" And he said, "You're going to have to pick me up and throw me overboard." Now think about that. Yeah. He's not afraid to die. Can you see that? He's not afraid to die. Pick me up, throw me over. At least I ain't going to Nineveh. That's one way to get out of it. And so they didn't want to do it. And they rowed hard and tried to get out of it, but it's just getting worse. And they know they've already thrown out their cargo and everything else, nothing else they can do. They know any moment this little ship's going to break into pieces. They're going down. They're all going to die. And so they prayed to God and they said, "Lord, don't hold this man's blood against us." And they picked him up and they threw him over. And just as he's about to hit this giant fish, comes up and gulp. And heads down into the deep. The Bible said God had prepared a great fish. Now people mock and scoff at that and said, you know, a human being couldn't live inside of a... Have you ever tried it? How do you know? Some of these creatures are huge. Yeah. Right? Yeah. There can be some big pockets of air in there. I don't know. But regardless of the fact, the Bible said God prepared the fish. You could live on the moon if God prepares it. Right? Or wherever. God prepared the fish. And so, I don't know if you heard or not, but Brother Jesse Duplantis tells of his experience going to heaven. And said he saw different, said he saw David, he saw Paul, he said he saw Jonah. And he said, he spoke to him for a moment, and he thought, well, for some reason, he thought, "Boy, this is my chance to get my question answered." He said, "Jonah, you know, what was it that you were in? Was it a whale? Was it, what was it?" And he said, when he said it, he knew he had said the wrong thing. He saw Jonah's face. And he said, Jonah looked at him and said, "Jesse, I was in disobedience." Oh, wow. He said, "Yeah, right, right." But that just shows you got to watch about going after the wrong thing. And missing the big thing. Yeah. People get into technicalities and miss the whole point. He said the moment he said it, he saw Jonah's face. He thought, "Oh, I said the wrong thing." And then Jonah said, "Well, I mean, is it polite to keep bringing up to people their mistakes 1,000 years from now?" Yes. He said, "Jesse, I was in disobedience." But anyway, he is in the belly of this specially prepared huge fish for 3 days and nights. And the scripture tells us this is representative of Christ in the heart of the earth. That's good. And the scripture said, from the belly of hell, Jonah prayed and cried. Could God hear your prayer? Yes. Yeah. Thousands of feet on the bottom of the ocean. He said, "Weeds were wrapped around my head." Don't you know that was an awful experience, man? That was a bad one. And what she did, should he have done? Obey God. Just obey God. But anyway, God heard his prayer, and God spoke to the fish, and the fish cruised up to the shore and vomited Jonah out. So he's laying there. Don't you know he's glad to be out? Oh, whoo. And in chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the preaching that I bid thee. You know, the Lord doesn't change. Right? You may go through a lot of stuff till you understand he's not going to change. But you could make it easy on yourself and respond right the first time. So he said, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the preaching that I bid thee. And this time, Jonah got up and got it in gear and went to Nineveh. Woo. According to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It would take you 3 days to walk across it. And verse 4, Jonah began to enter the city after getting about a day's journey into it. He stops on some street corner and he begins to declare, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Because that's what the Lord told him to say. Is this the word of the Lord?
Yes.
It was so important that no matter what Jonah tried to do to run away and get away from it, none of it worked. God wanted this word proclaimed.
Yes.
He wanted it done, and he could have used somebody else, but Jonah was his first pick. And this word overthrown is the same word that describes what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Wow.
And from the other things we see, Nineveh was obviously a real sinful place. Evil, bad place, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were completely destroyed. Hailstones, fire, I mean, it wiped off the map. That's what the Lord said was going to happen to this city 3 days' journey across in 40 days. Less than 2 months. So, Jonah did. He declared that. Verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Everybody. And when the word came to the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne. He laid off his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, and said, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Don't let them feed. Don't let them drink water. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. That's prayer. Cry out to God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. That was why judgment was coming on them. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn from his fierce anger so that we perish not? What had happened, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah was about to happen to these people. Just days away from it. The Lord said it was. But, They changed, they repented, they humbled themselves, they prayed, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do to them, and he did it not. So 40 days came and went, and on day 41, the rooster crowed. The sun came up. Day 45, day 50. Everything's cool. Everything's great. No destruction. No judgment. Jonah was mad. Oh, he was mad. He was so mad. Chapter 4, verse 1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed to the Lord. Like we said, not all prayers are good. He said, I pray you, O Lord, wasn't this my saying when I was yet in my country? That's why I got on the boat and went to Tarshish, because I knew.
Yeah.
I knew. You're a gracious God. You're a merciful God. You're slow to anger, great kindness, and you will repent of the evil. Now, his prophecies looks like he's a false prophet and no good. He's preached this all over this giant city. And the 40 days have come and gone.
That's right.
False prophet. He thinks he'd just rather die than live with the shame. Now, was that some kind of a, I don't know, psychology trick?
Yeah.
Telling them that they'd be destroyed in 40 days?
No.
Or would that have happened?
It would have happened.
Did they change God?
No.
No, they didn't change. They changed.
That's right.
They changed.
God has mercy.
And it pleased God.
Yeah.
He didn't want to see them destroyed to begin with. But they'd been headed towards it who knows how many years.
Right.
And it had just gotten to the place where it couldn't go on any longer.
Yeah.
Unless.
Yeah.
I said unless.
Yeah.
Unless somebody prayed.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Go to 1 John in closing. 1 John 5 and 14. This is New Testament. 1 John 5, 14. We'll just start here. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, no matter how we feel or how it looks, what do we know?
He hears
us. Verse 15. And if we know He heard us, because we know we asked according to His will. If we asked according to His word, we know that's His will.
Yes.
So regardless of how we feel about it, if we asked anything according to His word and His will, we know He heard us.
Yes.
We know He heard us. He said He did.
Yeah.
And if we know He heard us, what else do we know? We know. We have the petition. He's not going to tell you something in His word and then not answer it.
Right.
We have the petition. It's granted to us. That we desired of Him. Now keep going. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. If a person knows God and is matured to a certain point, and they reject Jesus knowingly, willingly, and they do disrespect to the blood that bought them, that can be something the Lord would tell you, leave them alone. Don't pray for them. But other than that, and a lot of people are not even mature enough to do that. It's a fact. Other than that, there's a lot of things that if you ask the Lord to have mercy on somebody else concerning a sin that they have done and mistakes that they have made, a prayer of supplication, God will give them life because you asked for it. Oh, what a merciful God He is. What a great, kind God He is. Years ago, I was praying for an individual, and dear me, they had had that I knew of 1,000 opportunities to get things right in the mercy of God and just keep on making the wrong choice, going the wrong way, and I saw they are about to be in a bad, bad way. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I know they don't deserve it. I know they hadn't listened to you. They've done everything in the world except listen to you. But have mercy on them. Have mercy on them. Give them another opportunity to repent, to get it right. He spoke to my heart. He said, Keith, I'm going to do that. Just because you asked me to. Isn't that what this is talking about? Just because you asked me to. Isn't that what he was saying concerning judgment coming on a whole nation? I sought for somebody that would stand in the gap, stand in between the judgment in them and plead the case before me. And there were cases where he couldn't find anybody that would even speak up and ask. You know, when Abraham talked to the Lord and his nephew Lot and their family were there in Sodom, and the Lord told him, he said, shall I hide from Abraham what's about to happen? And he told him, he said, the cry of the evil of this place has come up before me, and he has sent angels down to check this out. And he told him that there's going to be destroyed. But why tell him? He wanted Abraham to ask him about it. Yeah. Wow. Right? Can you see this? Yeah. Why do this? Why come by there? And so Abraham, he said, shall not the righteous judge of all the earth do right? You know, will you let the innocent be destroyed with the wicked? This is not what the righteous judge does. The Lord doesn't do that. He said, what if we could find 50? And this is a whole giant city like Nineveh, two cities actually. What if we could find 50, you know, righteous people among all these? And the Lord said, I'll spare it for 50. Now, why am I saying this? A lot of you know this, but what am I saying? Things are changing. The whole places were going to be wiped off the map. But now, if we can find 50, it's two cities saved. Even though they're full of evil. Mercy, mercy. And then he says, well, Lord, what if we're 5 short? What if we're 5 short? And the Lord said, I'll spare the place for 45. And you remember, Abraham kept going. Remember that? And then he got to 10. Is that right? He said, Lord, you know, be patient with me. And I know he feels like he's pushing it, right? I know that this is intercession. It's prayer. It's intercession. But it's not religious junk, ritual. It's communion. Can you see this? It's communion. It's fellowship. It's asking. It's receiving answers. It's communing. And he said, what if we can only find 10? Only 10. And this is a city of, I guess, at least scores of thousands. And the Lord said, I'll spare the place for 10. And I think Abraham really thought he had it. I do. I think he thought just his kinfolks. Right? But what he didn't realize is not only was his kinfolks in Sodom, Sodom had gotten in them. And there weren't 10, there probably weren't 5. That's why the place was so near judgment. But can you see that as he's praying and talking to him, outcomes are being changed? At every juncture, outcomes are being changed. This stuff about it's all predetermined, it's all predestined, God is controlling everything in everybody, it's not true. I said it's not true. Everything is not set in stone. And that's why we pray. I said that's why we pray. Because God will hear a sincere, hallelujah, right heart prayer. Especially a scripture quoting prayer. Somebody that really loves God, that really cares about people, and there were things he will do, and there are situations he will spare, and there are people that live that would have died. Wow. People that will be spared that would have been destroyed and consumed because you asked. Can you say amen? Stand on your feet, everybody. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Stand on your feet, everybody. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Oh, lift your hands. Lift your voice. Say thank you to the Lord. 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 Altar workers, come down. Thank you to the Lord. 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 Let me lead you in a prayer. A couple of prayers. We don't know who's in the house or who's watching online or who will watch this even later. But everybody say, affirm or reaffirm your faith. Say, Father God, I believe in you, the Almighty God. And I reverence you. And I honor your name. And I thank you that you've given us your Son, Jesus, that he died on the cross. He paid for all my sins. And that you've raised him from the dead, alive, free from sin. Thank you for saving me through what he has done. I receive Jesus and all he has done for me. Jesus, I confess you, Lord of my life, my Savior, my healer, my provider, my protector, my deliverer. Thank you for saving me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Everybody pray this as well. Say, Lord, I see the value of communing with you. And I am confident that you hear my prayers. And you see my heart. And you know. And I thank you for using me in these things. To pray a prayer. To ask a thing. That you would, that we should. Praying for others as well as myself. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. And thank you for changing things by your great power. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.